Thank you, Kyle. Good to see everyone here this morning, and anyone who might be live streaming us, you're always welcome too. If you were to Google or otherwise research the phrase, the most hated word, you might get a list of several words. Some may be disliked by overuse, some just have an unseemly connotation, some words on the list may be a curse word that just grates on the ears of most. Or maybe it's the name of a political figure that just makes your blood boil every time they're mentioned. But I would suggest that one of the most hated words in religion could be authority, the word authority. Before we go further, I would like to direct your attention to Matthew 28:18, where Jesus told his apostles that all authority has given to me in heaven and on earth. I would like to briefly present three reasons that many in the religious world today dislike the word authority and what it entails. First, man by nature is strongly self-willed. You know, we're Texans. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. Look at the little child who wants what they want, and they want it now with no restraints or delay. Of course, it's up to the parents to train and guide the child in acceptable avenues to let their wants and desires be known without having a meltdown over every little thing. The wise man said, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The child must be educated in the authority of the parent. Too many parents today shirk that responsibility in the area of teaching their children respect for the teacher at school, maybe respect for the police department or even government, all of which are biblical principles. From the beginning, some churches have shied away from demanding respect for the authority of the scriptures and the respect for God's word that is inherent in serving him properly, pleasingly, and acceptably. Number two, too often God and the revealed word is not recognized as the sources of authority. We don't need a convention or a synod or council or a vote by the members to know what we're going to use as our doctrine next year, but rather we should follow the word, which changes not. As we see in James 1:17, where it says, the gift of God has no variableness or shadow of turning. The theory of evolution continues to have a strong grasp on the minds of a lot of people today and how the world views authority. The survival of the fittest carries with it the idea of the one with the strongest fist can rule over the weaker person. Or to carry it to modern society, the one with the most money will have power over the person with modest means in many aspects. And it seems like a politician's entire effort is to gain more money and power. Just look at the government and politicians in general today. You know, the days of the altruistic person who went to Washington for 2 or 3 years to do good for his fellow man and then went back home, those days are pretty much gone. Now it's how much can we tax and spend and tax. And I know the pulpit is no place for political observations, but these facts are self-evident that they have abandoned the authority that they should have been given. For several generations now, the concept of God as the creator and the one with the ultimate authority has been swept from our schools and the classrooms. Kids have no place to hang their morality on, but instead they revert to challenging any and all authority that doesn't mesh with what they and their limited life experiences deem acceptable to them. God is no longer recognized as the potter with the authority as an authority figure to guide the generations of people in the world. Look at Romans 13:1, where it says, let everyone submit to the governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. You know, since God created us, he has full authority over what we can and cannot do and what would be pleasing unto him. If you created a business, you would have full say-so on who you hired, what they could and couldn't do, and on a larger authority, that's exactly how God is. He created us. He has the say-so of what we do. Looking at civil government already seen to be instituted by God, we see that oftentimes it isn't fair. It doesn't follow the precepts of God, and God's desires, but it can be said that any government is better than no government, as long as it doesn't clash with what the Bible says in other places. Doing away with government, and I'm sure there's some crackpots that say that, would revert back to the biggest fist theory and anarchy. And of course, no one wants that. In a parallel thought, children are to obey their parents, Ephesians 6:1. Parents have been given the authority over the children by God, and when children obey their parents, they are obeying God. And conversely, when they disobey their parents, they are disobeying God. Husbands have authority over their wives. Elders have authority as overseers of the church. They can be described as possibly ruling well, 1 Timothy 5:17. The third reason authority is a hated word or concept is that many have not seen the exercise of authority in a godly manner. Too often, someone who has managed to get in a position of authority, maybe in a secular arena or even in the marriage realm, will have the idea of my way or the highway. Divine authority is prompted by love for the subjects, but human authority is often seen as a self-serving, sinful matter, exemplified by ambition, love of money, the accolades of the general public, and so forth. But divine authority always works for the benefit of those he loves, and obedience to him is never forced, as his authority works in our best interest. Think of Deuteronomy 6:24, where Moses says that the Lord commanded the people to follow all these statutes that it may go well with them. Many scriptures that we don't have time to visit this morning, time and time again, show the value of obedience to the Lord. Jesus, in his exercise of authority, has never asked us to do things for our destruction, but rather to edify and build us up. He gave authority to the apostles to spread the word and reveal his principles, with the end result that we might be saved. Even when correcting people, the apostles were gentle and kind. And the apostles' actions of love and peace were seen over and over, and never were they seen forcing God's will on anyone. To visit the family area one more time, the fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. Phrases like, "because I told you so," or "say that again and see what happens," have no place in a loving parental way of instruction, but rather, "I'm asking you to do this or not do that because I believe the Lord wants you to obey family rules that you may not understand now, but it will make you a better person down the road." Of course, husbands are to honor and love their wives while not lording their authority rudely over them. Godly wielding of authority is a beautiful thing and will foster righteousness. Will everyone accept and submit to godly authority from wherever it's revealed? Of course, we know the answer is no. There are those who will reject it and go on their way and practice a self-guided life. By doing this, they have deemed themselves unworthy to accept the love and spiritual gifts of God up to and including eternity in heaven. And they make their worship and spiritual activities to the Lord null and void, and this becomes a vain exercise. Is your life controlled by the authority of God today? There's nothing that can take its place, and that will be so wonderful now and in the life to come. I thank you for your attention.